Amen. Wow. Okay. Man. We're feeling it. That's right. At least I am. All right. Well, I want to conclude our time in Exodus this morning. So if you'd like to turn to Exodus chapter 6, we'll find our way there. Just a couple of minutes. Just a quick story to get you going this morning. About an atheist who was hiking in the woods. And he was enjoying all of God's creation, although he didn't know that that's who was responsible. And he was looking around and going down this path and that path when finally he looked up and he saw a massive grizzly bear. And the grizzly bear started chasing him. And as the grizzly bear got near him, he was running as fast as he could. The faster he ran, the closer that grizzly bear got. Until finally he got out into an opening, and the grizzly bear was upon him, and just in a moment of quick faith, he said, "God, help me." And that bear skidded to a stop just about 3 feet away from the atheist. You can tell this is not a real story now, okay, so you can relax. All right. At least not aware that it's real, so... And the atheist went, "Oh my goodness," and a voice came from heaven and said, "So, after all this time, you've never believed in me, you've never trusted me, never even believed I existed, but you called on me in your moment of greatest need." And the atheist said, "Yeah, I guess that was what I did, you know, probably you shouldn't have answered my prayer because, you know, and I don't really think I should convert right now just because of this." But he said, "I tell you what, I know that being a Christian is about being merciful, loving, and caring, and not hurting anybody. And so I don't really think you could probably make me a Christian, because you make the bear a Christian?" And God granted his wish and made the bear a Christian bear. And the bear dropped to his knees and folded his hands and said, "Lord, for this wonderful meal I'm about to receive, I give thanks." What does that have to do with this message? I hope something, all right? That is just a great story. All right, so our human nature, here's what it has to do with it. Our human nature is always attempting to get us to do what serves our purposes, isn't it? We want to call on God when we need him. When we don't need him, then we want to kind of run off and kind of do our own thing. And then when we need him again, we might call on him. That's just kind of the way our human nature works. But if you're a Christian today, and God has filled you with his Spirit, and you have learned to follow him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, you realize that God's will and plan for us is for us to be given over to his purposes. Not our purposes, not the things that we would want, the things that we might think our way through, but to really trust his purposes for our lives. And so today I'm going to shift the focus over to the Hebrew people who were in bondage. And for 430 years, I want you to think about that. Twice as long about as this country has been in existence. For 430 years, they had been praying for deliverance. In fact, I think a lot of them had pretty much decided that God had abandoned them, and they remember the stories that their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents and on back had told them about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but for them, God was a long, long ways away. But they had been praying for deliverance, and now God was about to deliver them. Moses has finally decided that he's going to do the will of God. Aaron has come to him, and now they're headed back to fulfill the purposes of God, that God's people, the nation of Israel, would become his people, and that they would live free, and that they would then become a testimony to the world about what it meant to serve God. So here's a strange question. Were they going to be able to receive it? And you might be here today asking the question, well, why wouldn't they? My goodness, they've been praying for 430 years. Why wouldn't they be able to receive it? Well, the deliverance that's going to come to them is going to come on God's terms. How many of you realize that about your own life? You can't dictate the terms to God. You can't say, okay, God, I'll serve you if you'll do X, Y, and Z. I'll follow you, but only if you do this, this, and this. And you know, Jesus hanging on the cross, I'm not real into blood, so I'm not really going to accept all that. But if you'll accept me with my terms, then I'll follow you. How many of you know you can't do that? There are terms for God's deliverance, things that we must accept in our lives. And they were going to have to accept God's terms, not theirs. So could they, by faith, believe in God's promise of deliverance and go from slavery to a blessed and a promised land that God had for them? And you see, God has deliverance for us. Will we receive it? Will we accept it? Will we hear it? Will we understand it, receive it into our lives? And will we know that He has a blessed life for us? Not a perfect life, not a life where everything goes exactly the way we would hope it would go, but a blessed life because it is in Him. And will we journey in that life with God? Let's look at the scripture verse this morning, and then we'll glean a few things from it. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. Now, remember again, Moses is now back in Egypt. He is now beginning to fulfill the purposes of God. He has discovered that the slavery that his people are under is worse than it was before. They have been asked to continue to make the bricks that they have been making for years without straw. I'm not much of a brick maker, but I don't think you can make bricks without all the stuff that makes it stick together. They were told they had to make bricks without the straw. And so God comes to Moses and he says, I am the Lord. From two or three weeks ago, you may remember that is his covenant name. It's the name Yahweh. It is the name where he says, I am who I am. You don't need to try to tell him everything about me. Just tell him I am. The God of the universe who is going to set you free. And so I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, as the Creator God. But now my name is Yahweh. I am who I am, and I am going to be the Israelites' God, and they are going to be my people. I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I heard the groaning of the Israelites now after 450 years. 450 years after the promise, I have heard their groanings, whom the Egyptians are enslaving. And I have remembered my covenant with Abraham and everyone who would come after him. Therefore, next slide. We got the next one, I'm sorry. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to a land that I swore with an uplifted hand to Abraham, also to Isaac, and also to Jacob. And I'm going to give it to you as a possession. I am Yahweh. I am who I am. And so Moses reported this to the Israelites. And listen to this. But they did not listen to him. Why? Because of their discouragement and their harsh labor. It's amazing that we can have things in our lives that will not allow us to know and experience the very best that God has for us. There are two questions that all of us have to answer in our lives. First of all, is Jesus our Savior? Is He your Savior? Do you understand your need for Him? Do you understand your sinfulness? Do you understand how far away from God you are without the work of Jesus? But also, is Jesus Lord of your life? Have you taken everything that you are, everything that you have, and offered it to him as a living sacrifice? As we do that, here are some promises that God outlines. He outlines them for the Hebrew people that they belong to us also. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. You know what a yoke is? I didn't grow up on a farm, so I'm going to do my best. But a yoke is something big, wooden thing that you would put around a cow, an oxen. And that yoke would be what they would use to pull the burden that was placed upon them. And that yoke would keep them in tow to where they couldn't move to the right or they couldn't move to the left. This was the life of the nation of Israel. And God says to them, I'm going to bring you out from under that yoke. I'm also going to free you from slavery. They have held you in slavery for centuries now. But all of that's going to go away, and I'm going to free you from that slavery. And as I do it, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to buy you back because of my love, and I'm going to buy you back through the mighty acts that I'm about to do before the Egyptian people. And when I do that, I'm not just going to let you wander around, but I'm going to lead you to a new land. I'm going to lead you to a promised and blessed life. Now, you do know today that those are God's promises to you. God's promises to you through Jesus are that the yoke of sin, the yoke of the world that's just got you living this way and that way and causing you to pull its heavy burden in your life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you lived in sin and you bore it in your life and you were a slave to it through the work of Jesus Christ, that yoke is lifted. And you are free from its bondage, praise God. And you have now been redeemed by the mighty work of the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the work of God in your life continually, day by day. And God is showing you every day a new and a blessed life that you can live as you serve him and love him. So why don't we do it? Why would we ever live in slavery? Why would we ever live with yokes around our necks? Why would we not want the mighty acts of God in our life? What was the problem? There in verse 9, they were discouraged and they were in cruel bondage. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, to forget all of the things of the past, the things that were done to you, the things that you have done that you cannot take back. They had been slaves for so long that they were resigned that it was always going to be this way. And they were enslaved to things that seemed way too powerful for them to ever overcome. But God comes with a message of deliverance. And these who have found Christ today and have joined the church, and these who are going to be baptized and who have found Jesus Christ, they are the testimony of the reality of the deliverance of God from sin, from bondage, from addiction, from all of the things that would hold us back and keep us from being what God desires for us to be. That's what we celebrate today. He says, I'll bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. God wants to turn your heart away from the world. Oh, do you remember what it was like when the world controlled you, when your selfishness controlled you, when everything was about you and everything related to your hurts and this and that? God wants to bring you out from under the yoke of all of that. He wants to turn your heart toward him. You see, the important thing was not what the world was doing to the Hebrews. The important thing is what God wanted to do in their lives. You see, we got to allow Jesus to be Lord. And that begins with allowing him to change our hearts and our mind, to have a different attitude, the scripture says, a different mindset that only God can give us through the work of Jesus Christ. I love these words from Chuck Swindoll, writer of the past, who I just love to listen to. One more. I will bring the next one. There we go. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude or mindset on life. Attitude to me is more important than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures and successes. You know, that's what we believe in our life a lot of times, that our lives are determined by those things. There's some things we know, and there's some things we don't know. And the things we know, maybe we can be successful at, and the things that we don't know, we can't. And that's the way we live our lives. We think that money brings everything that we need, or that if we have good circumstances, we can be happy. If we have bad circumstances, then we can only be unhappy. We're either going to fail or succeed. But we realize in life that a mindset of Christ, a work of Christ in our lives, is more important than any of those things. It's more important than appearance. It's more important than giftedness, more than skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is you got a choice every day. Do you realize that? Every day we have a choice as to how we will live. We can't change the past. Anybody succeeded in that one? Can't change the past. We can't change the fact that people will act in a certain way. Any of you mastered that? Get everybody to act just exactly like you would like for them to? We can't change the fact people are going to do what they're going to do. We can't change the inevitable. That belongs to God. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. Now, I want to tell you this. There's only one thing there that I think he got wrong. I think life is about 99% how we react to things and about 1% what happens to us. Here's how Paul said it about Jesus from Philippians. In your relationships with one another, have this attitude, this same mindset, because it was also in Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. But rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. There's a worship song that we sang today that basically was telling us when you come to the end of yourself, when you're willing to die to yourself, to your selfishness, to your sin, to your attitudes, to your mindsets. When you will die to that, Christ will come in and he will save you and fill you with the power of his presence and Holy Spirit. And you can lose your life in Christ. How many of you have lost your life in Christ? I hope you have. You know what I do if I'm not careful? I've lost my life in Christ, but every so often I try to keep taking some of it back. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? But we do, don't we? But each and every day we just learn. And why? Because we don't want to live under the yoke. The yoke of the world is powerful and strong, and it destroys people's lives. But the work of the Spirit is freedom from the yoke of sin and the world. He says also that I'll free you from being a slave to it all. You can leave all of the oppression behind. You can leave all of the guilt behind. You can leave all of the shame behind. You can leave all of the hurts that people have placed on you. Harder to do maybe than even leaving your own guilt and shame behind. But what you can do is you can allow God to free you from being a slave to them. I love this from Samuel Smiles. Sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. If you have the courage to believe the word of God, if you have the courage to believe that Christ died for your sins and can change your life, all you need is to let that be sown into your life. And when it gets sown into your life, then you know what? You're going to start acting differently. And guess what happens when you act differently? Previous one, please. What happens when you act differently is that then it becomes normal and natural for you. And when things become normal and natural for you, it changes your heart and your character. And when your character is different, you're going to end up in a different place. You're going to end up where God wants you to be. Aren't you glad we leave it all behind? How many of you go back and go, oh, every once in a while? We do that, don't we? The past is there. Sometimes it calls to us to live there, but we don't have to live there. We can be free from sin. We can be free from its guilt, from its shame, from all of its devastation in our lives if we will just believe in what Christ has done. He will change destinies as we do that. And then he says, I'm going to redeem you with mighty acts. How many of you, that sounds like a great thing? How many of you experienced a mighty act of God in your life? I know I have. I couldn't do anything. I was at the end of my rope. And as we sang again this morning in that worship song, that's right where the greatest power of God is when we come to the end of ourselves. That's where God does the greatest and mighty acts in our lives. A final quote this morning from the great literary giant Goethe. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy. There's a chance to draw back, ineffectiveness. But concerning all acts of initiative and creation, being born again in your life, there is one elementary truth. If we don't get it, it kills countless ideas and splendid plans. At the moment one definitely commits oneself, God moves to. All sorts of things will occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, material assistance, which no one could ever have dreamed would ever come his way. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Because boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. I have listened to missionaries testify to that all of my life. I have lived that all of my life. That when I come to the end of myself, that's when I come at the beginning of everything that God has for me. And so, folks, lordship is so vital for our lives. A commitment, a granting of everything in our life to the work and the power of God through His Spirit. And His promise is, I'll lead you to a different place, and it will be a best place, a blessed place. It may not always be fun. It may not always be easy. It may not always be everything that ultimately, originally you had thought about. But wherever I take you, it will be a blessed land. And that's really what Christian baptism is all about today. It's about saying I was headed this way. And I had a yoke on me. And I was a slave to all kinds of things in my life. And I hurt myself and I hurt people and other people hurt me. And I was just bound by this path and this life and this life that I was living. But all of a sudden, the cross of Jesus was just standing before me. And it showed me that life could be different. It showed me that if I would recognize I was headed down the wrong road, and I would confess that, that that love and that forgiveness would wash over me and clean my life, and then it would turn me to a new road. And that new road that I now get to walk is a road that leads to the will and the purpose and eternity of God. Praise his name. That's what Christian baptism is today. Under the water with the old life. Outside the water with a new life with God through Jesus Christ. I'd like for the couple that are going to be baptized this morning, if they would come forward right now. Camille, Todd, come on up here. I know we're doing the whole nine yards with you today, all right? This life that you're about to live, that you're living already right now, is a life that you're testifying to today in front of all of these people. It's a life that you were headed the wrong direction, but because of what Christ has done in your life, you now have a new road to walk and to live. All of the things that I ask you about who God is and who Jesus is, we've been through all of that and you have testified to that. But I just want you one more time today to testify to this congregation that your intent is to walk this newness of life with Jesus Christ. If that's your intent, please say it is. All right. Then I'm very excited today to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a few minutes. And I pray that this day, again, as you testify to these people about what God's done in your heart, that you will live it and you will follow him and walk that road now for the rest of your life. And may the Lord bless you as you do that. All right, I'm going to ask our worship team if they will come forward. Camille, there you go. And Todd, there you go. And what we're going to do is we're going to disappear real quickly. And we're going to get ready for baptism. And we're going to sing just a little bit right now and get ready for that. And as soon as the baptisms are done, you are dismissed and you can be on your way to the next thing that you have today.
We're going to sing that song, God is on the Move. Let's all stand.